could turn with me, please. We're going to look at the Christmas story. Luke 2, starting in verse 8. Verse 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, can you read this with me? "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's pray together. Glory to you, our Lord. Help us today see the awe of the shepherds, to see you in a new way today. Give us eyes to see Christmas you the way you want us to see it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're doing a sermon series called Fresh Eyes, trying to look at the good old Christmas story in new and fresh eyes or a fresh perspective. Who's never heard of this story before I just read? Everybody's heard it. Wow. At East last week, somebody didn't hear heard about the story at all. Who has heard it about 100 times? Okay, lots of times. Okay. So, you know, the love Christmas time, but we always say the same old stories. This series, we're trying to see it in a new way. And we're kind of looking at different characters of the Christmas story. Last week, Pastor Victor talked about and saw Christmas from Mary's perspective, the mother of Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the shepherd's perspective. And next week, Pastor Victor is going to read the same story and look at it from the angel's perspective. That's going to be a tough one, but that's going to be cool. Today, we're going to look from the shepherd's perspective and look at look up. The shepherds were hanging out in the field, and all of a sudden the angels came, and they looked up, and their life was forever changed. They saw Christmas, this ordinary day, into something amazing. And today, I want all of us to look up and see Christmas anew today. One of my favorite Christmas stories is the Christmas Carol. Anybody heard about the Christmas Carol before? Okay, it's an oldie but a goodie. And there we have two different perspectives and experiences with Christmas. There is a wealthy businessman named Scrooge, and then a young little child named Tiny Tim, who is crippled. Now for Scrooge, his Christmas, or his view of Christmas is bah humbug. He hates it. I'm not sure what bah humbug means, but it doesn't seem very fun. But he hates Christmas. For him, it's a waste of time in which he, as a businessman, is cheated in paying his workers a day where they don't work. And it's a time where idle and lazy people become even more idle and wasteful and lazy. But for Tiny Tim, this is his favorite day of the year. He has a disability. He has trouble walking. And even though he has it, he has so much joy. On Christmas Day, his father, Bob Cratchit, and him go to church. And he saw people looking at him when he's walking in with a limp. And he told his father that when people see him and his disability, he hopes that they will not look at him, but rather look at the one who heals the sick, the blind, and the lame. Tiny Tim hopes his disability gives people motivation to look to Jesus. And as opposed to Scrooge's bah humbug, his motto or mantra is, "God bless us, everyone." No, I have a terrible accent, sorry. But the idea, like, God bless us, even Scrooge, even people like Scrooge. Now, these two different views of Christmas don't just happen overnight, and they don't necessarily, people don't choose them, but we see that they're given to us. We see that Tiny Tim has a very, very kind and healthy family. A compassionate family who love him, who take care of him, but also they don't treat him differently. They just still see him as a little brother. Scrooge, on the other hand, had a very different childhood. We see, if you look at the story, he was a boy with not many friends. And he had a very stern father who never looked at him with love. Scrooge's mother had died during childbearing. And because of that, his father blamed Scrooge for his mother's death. And he felt he was never enough for his dad. He could never please him. And in fact, his dad kicked him out as a teenager. And when he grew up and left his home, he found a lovely woman, but he got in his head that he would never be good enough for a woman. And he thought only if he was rich and wealthy and successful, then he could deserve the love of his life. But unfortunately, his desire for money and wealth actually pushed away the love of his life and sabotaged their relationship, and she left him. And his only sister, his only friend, died at a young age. So Christmas was never really filled with joy. It was always lonely for Scrooge. Now, our experiences give us a certain perspective on Christmas. For some of us, we're like Tiny Tim. We love it. We're so excited to have everybody over. It's the best time of year. But for some of us, we're more like Scrooge. Maybe we've never had a happy Christmas. Maybe we lost someone dear to us, and Christmas only brings up those memories of that person. Now, this not only applies to Christmas, but every part of our lives. Our experiences affect the way that we view life, that we see life. And for some of us, the past, a relationship, a circumstance, or a situation, all these things, all these events, create like a filter over our eyes, which affect the way we see the world. We look at our circumstances, we look at our past, we look at our relationships, our finances, our choices, our career, our school, and the list goes on through this filter. Academics use a big word called worldview. It's that we look at the world in a certain way because of our experiences and our culture. And sometimes it's very hard to look beyond this filter. For some of us, Christmas comes every year and we're so happy, the filter goes to our eyes and we just are so happy we sometimes overlook those who are struggling. Other people, Christmas comes and a filter goes on our eyes and we're just bitter and we're complaining about all the materialism and bah, humbug. And this series is about God changing the filter over our eyes. God changing our worldview. God wants us to experience Christmas with fresh eyes. At Christmas, the Father, the Heavenly Father, gave us a new way to view life. The Father gave us a new way to view Him, and this can change how we view our lives. And here's what I want to do today. I want to dig into the story of the shepherds and see what kind of filter shaped their life. And also, I want to look at how God changed their view. And then, here's what I want you to know. How we view life drives how we do life. So look up. How we view life drives how we do life. And the shepherds, as they were living through life, looking a certain way, God had to break through the heavens so they looked up above their filter. So too, God wants us to look up. Now imagine that there's a filter over your eyes. You can think of maybe glasses. I've had glasses since I was kindergarten, so I'm very used to having glasses. Imagine that there's this filter over your eyes, created by your circumstances, by your experiences. God wants you to look up over that filter to see life anew, to see Christmas anew, to see up above what we usually see life through, to experience something different today, to see life beyond our limited filter, to find freedom, joy, and peace. First, let's look at the story and the filter of the shepherds. The author of Luke, one of my favorite gospel writers, he was a physician by trade, a doctor, but he also had the heart of a social worker. And that's kind of the filter he uses to write the book of Luke. And he brings to the forefront many marginalized characters that no other writer had the guts to mention. He's the only writer in the New Testament that mentions the shepherds in the Christmas story. Now, as you may know, the shepherds were the lowest class of society. They were right down there with the tax collectors and the dung sweepers. That was a real job in Israel, a dung sweeper, a pooper scooper. But shepherds were a little bit higher than them. Shepherds were originally a very important part of Israel's workforce, but the rise of farmland and industrialization, the nomadic lifestyle of the shepherd became less desirable, and only the poorest people would become shepherds. To make matters worse, shepherds were plagued by bad stereotypes. People assumed that shepherds were all shady, immoral, low-life people. They were all thieves and liars, which smelled like sheep. And Jewish people were discouraged from buying things from shepherds, milk, sheep, wool, because they probably stole it. So don't buy anything from them. And also, they're not allowed into politics, and their testimony wasn't admissible in court. They couldn't go to court to testify because they were seen as untrustworthy. One rabbi said, if you saw a shepherd who had fallen into a pit and couldn't get out, just leave them. It's not worth your time. They were seen as the lowest of the low. Their job was to tend sheep, which were used in Jewish festivals in the Jewish temple. But ironically, they were not allowed to enter into the temple. They're not allowed to enter into the church because of their work. They were deemed as sinners and unholy, unclean people by the religious leaders. Now, what do you think their filter was like? They probably had a really, really tough life. If Christmas came around in their time, they'd probably be like, Chris, bah, humbug, or the Jewish equivalent, or Hebrew equivalent, whatever that would have been. They probably felt forgotten by God and their neighbors. Now, probably the closest parallel I can think of in our time is actually bottle pickers. I work at the Mashsid, and one of my friends have the job of being a bottle picker. And this type of people, they're very marginalized. They're seen as the lowest class. They work at nighttime when nobody else is out, and they are plagued by bad stereotypes. A lot of people say, don't give money to these people because they're probably going to do bad stuff with it. They're all, you know, you never know. And most feel they don't fit in to the regular church setting. They feel judged. They feel like they're not holy. They don't feel like they fit in. At East, we helped at a Christmas brunch yesterday with a whole bunch of churches, and I met a man there. His name was Dumpster Dave. That's his real name. And he is actually a profession, a bottle picker. That's his life, and that's who he feels he's called to be. And he gets a lot of bad experiences. What happens to him regularly says people steal his bottles. And they're not even bottle pickers like him. They're random people. They're like, oh, there's a whole bunch of bottles in the cart. I'll just steal it. I'll just take it. And he says, when that happens, he runs over them and he says, what do you do with my bottles? He's like, oh, I thought they were free bottles. What? And when he phones the cops, they're like, oh, why are you calling us about this? We have more important things to do. That's his livelihood, and nobody cares about him. He's forgotten. He's unloved. One time, someone stole his bottles, and he fell down the stairs, hurt his knee, and he told this couple, hey, help me, someone stole my bottles. And the girl held her purse and just like couldn't talk. And the man was like all tough, and he looked over, I didn't see anybody. And he's like, what? I'm just trying to survive. And just like the shepherds, the bottle pickers of our day are the forgotten, the left behind. For these kinds of people, their filter is broken. It's colored by these experiences, and for them, life is so hard. Life is hopeless. Christmas sucks. for these types of people. How we view life drives how we do life. How do you view Christmas, and how do you view life? What are the experiences which shape the filter you see the world through and you see Christmas through? Do these experiences, does your filter drive your life? Now, to be honest with you, I'm more like a Scrooge than a Tiny Tim. Christmas for me is not always the best. My parents were never really, I never remember a time like my parents were happy together. And for Christmas time, it was more of just a stressful time. And part of it was actually culture. My father's from the old school town, a tiny town in Yugoslavia, and they have a really high hierarchy. My grandfather was 25 when he was married, and my grandmother was actually 12 years old. And in that culture, the woman stays at home, doesn't talk, does all the chores, while the man works and does the stuff. And my mom is from the Philippines. I've not met a Filipino woman who doesn't talk at home, especially at Filipino parties. They are the loudest karaoke singers out there. And my mom is a very strong, independent woman. She's the firstborn, and she left her small village in the Philippines to go to the big city to make a better life for her family. And when they got married, oh, there was tension. My mom was expected, when company came over, to sit, serve us, serve the company, and then go sit down in a room. It just did not work out. And there's always tension. My parents separated, and there's still this tension. Every Christmas comes around, we're sitting at the dinner table, and it feels like there's a ticking time bomb under the table. That is, it's only a matter of time before something is going to explode. There's going to be some word said, there's going to be something said, and it's just stressful. And for me, I need fresh eyes for Christmas. Because when I think of Christmas, I feel like Scrooge, bah humbug. And then something in this story happens. Even though the shepherds were stuck in their filter, feeling stressed out maybe, something amazing happens. The shepherds are given a completely different way to view life. And not only does it change them, what happened to them eventually flowed to us. Let's keep going in the story. During a regular night shift, an angel appeared. Now, most people assume that, you know, in the Bible times, angels happen all the time. Like, walking down the street, you see your friend, and there's an angel. Hey, angel, how's it going? That's not what happened. It says that the Old Testament, the first book, first part of the Bible, and the New Testament, there was 400 years passed in which there was no sign or voice from God. It was completely silent. There's no angels, no miracles. It's even worse than today. We see some miracles, but it's kind of rare. And during that time, there was nothing from God. And then, 400 years, this angel happened. Now, I haven't seen many angels in my lifetime. I would be freaking out. And when the shepherds saw this angel, they were terrified, the scripture says. And partly because there was an angel, but also they probably saw the angel from their filter. Their filter told them that they were sinners. They were dirty and unclean, not worthy to come into the temple, and they deserved God's judgment. And maybe when they saw the angel, they expected the angel to come and destroy them, come and judge them like all the religious people said he would. But the angel does something completely different. He tells them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Not bad news, good news. And in an instant, the shepherds went from looking through their filter to looking up to see something so amazing. How we view life drives how we do life. So look up. God sends them an angel to help them look up beyond their filters, to see something completely new. Instead of bad news, the angel gives good news. Instead of mocking their low social status, an angel promised them a new king who would be born in a manger. Instead of regarding them as untrustworthy, the angel entrusts to them the greatest news ever told. The Lord has come. And instead of being condemned as a sinner, the angel promises them the Messiah has come to save them and to save all peoples. God tells the shepherds to look up to him and his news, not to their reality. And God tells us now to look up. I just want to look just a little bit what the good news the angels told the shepherds. The angel said that this new baby has been born, and he is the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Now, Messiah, the Jewish people are waiting for what's known as the Messiah. This is a specific title regarding someone promised to be sent to save Israel from oppression, from slavery, from also sickness, pain, and suffering, all the things which negatively affect the filter we use to see the world. This was supposed to be the new king of Israel. The word Savior is a term only used by God and also in the Roman Empire during the time, Caesar, who was the leader of the Roman Empire, which had kind of taken control of Israel during that time. And Savior, was idea was saving people from the social institutions, which brought them down, but also save them from their sins, save them from the things which created this bad filter, which disconnected them from the temple. And finally, the word Lord is used to designate God. Caesar also claimed this title because he claimed to be the Son of God. But the amazing thing is that this Lord was not found in a palace or a temple, but he was at a place the shepherds were able to go. The Lord was accessible to them because he was born in a manger. But even more than that, he was born as the lowest class of society. Now, the word manger means feed trough, the place where animals eat. Now, I grew up on an acreage, and I worked a lot of feed troughs and a lot of animals, pigs, goats, llamas, alpacas. And sometimes animals forget where the feed trough is and where their bathroom is, if you know what I mean. And a lot of times they're eating and like, oh, that's not food. Oh, whoops. I had to clean feed troughs. One of my jobs as a kid, my daddy worked for the Hutterites, and my dad's a really frugal guy, probably more than Dutch people. But he would get the Hutterites. He would get all their expired milk and dairy products, and our job to open them up, huge chunky milk, and put them in the feed troughs so the pigs would eat it up. That's where Jesus was born. He was born in the dirtiest place imaginable. It's like he was born in a toilet. And out of all the places to start, the king of Israel would start there. And not only does the angel not mock their social status, he says the Son of God, the Messiah, will start at the bottom, just like the shepherds. Because of this, the shepherds were able to look up beyond their filter. Despite what everybody else says, God, the God of Israel, cared about them. The God of Israel loved them. And after these verses, they are so filled with joy, they go out into all the villages to the same Jewish people who probably looked down upon them and told them with all their hearts what they had seen. God gave the most untrustworthy men in Israel the task of telling others the most important news ever, and they did it. They didn't care about their filter anymore. They were too concerned about looking up to God's point of view and telling others what they had saw. And I really believe today, if Jesus was born in our time, the first people who would hear about it would be the bottle pickers. People that normally a lot of us wouldn't trust, because God loves them. Now, I wonder how many of us spend more time this year looking through at the world through our filter instead of looking up to God. I'm not saying that we should deny reality and what's the experiences we have, but we shouldn't let reality define us. We should look up and let God define who you are. Let God define your circumstances. Looking up means looking to God and acknowledging what the angel said. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to whom his favor rests. Look up and see God for who he is, not what others tell you. When you view your life in this way, something powerful happens. When you look up to God, you see and feel awe and wonder. You realize how huge and wondrous God is. And I'm guessing when the shepherds saw the glory of God, they couldn't stop looking up. Their necks are probably sore for a week. And I think that we could all use more awe in our lives. Which is bigger in your life right now? God or your circumstances? Or the problems you face? Or that person in your life, it's hard for you to forgive? When you look up consistently, God takes his rightful place, and so do your circumstances. Your situation, your suffering seems so small when you look at God's majesty and are filled with awe. Now let me give you kind of an idea what the shepherds felt like when they looked up and saw the glory of God. Anybody a fan of world wrestling here? WWE, PWA, okay, Bernard, right on. Oh yeah, Jesse, a lot of our fans, we go to PWA, it's the Prairie, it's the local wrestling outfit, we got it now. One of my favorite wrestlers there is a man called Andre the Giant. He was made popular in the movie The Princess Bride, and he's called the Giant for a reason. He's over 7 feet tall and 4 inches. He is huge and weighed over 300 pounds. Who would like to get in a ring with Andre the Giant? Anybody? Everywhere he went, people would just stop and look up at him in amazement. Whoa! That wasn't unusual, but one day in an airport, a little boy ran up to Andre the Giant, and the boy had never seen somebody looking this big. And when the boy looked up, Andre looked down, and the boy just, oh! And fortunately, a journalist got a picture of this incident, and here's the picture here. Look at the little boy. Oh! He's never seen someone so big that way, so he's just freaking out. In one moment, the little boy is just a boy in the airport, and then he looks up, and boom, his whole perspective changes. His whole life changed. He just saw a giant. And that's what I'm hoping for us this Christmas. Instead of looking around, instead of looking at our lives through this regular filter, the regular slug of life, look up and see the glory of God and be filled with awe. Filled with amazement, filled with wonder. Wow, that's so awesome. For some of us, it's been a year that we are looking up. Life has been good, our family's awesome. Maybe you were baptized, maybe you came back to church. Everything is going awesome, and you're just ready for Christmas. For some of us, though, maybe we're scared to look up. Maybe we're convinced that God is mad, disappointed, and frustrated, and exasperated with us, like the shepherds were. Maybe you just don't know how to look up. Maybe you're mad at God for your circumstances. Maybe you think, you know what? I could do life my way. I don't need to look up God. I could take on Andre the Giant. Instead of looking up at awe, I encourage you to look at Christmas a new way this season. God went to great lengths to show you that he is for you. That's why he sent Jesus to be born in a manger. That's why he came to the shepherds and came to us. But also, when we look up to God, God is always looking down to us. According to the angels, God is looking upon us with peace and favor. Not judgment, not disappointment, but peace and favor. And this is kind of expressed similar to the expression that Andre the Giant has. Look at the face of Andre again. Andre, he's a busy guy. He's in the airport on his way to catch a train. You know, this happened a lot of times. He didn't have time for this again. But despite all this, when the boy looked up at Andre, Andre looked down at the boy. And this is kind of like the face of our Heavenly Father towards us. This is a smile of grace and understanding. It's a picture of how God sees you. He loves you. He created you. You are His son. You are His daughter. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. God put you together perfectly. Just you. No one else. And when we begin to understand how God sees us, we begin to see Christmas and to see life with fresh eyes. My hope is that we'll be people who look up, knowing that God is looking down on us with favor and peace and love. This is the Christmas story. It's about God looking down on us so much with love that He sent His Son for us. And He wants us to look up. And when we look up to see God, we'll have a new drive for life. We could be like little tiny Tim again, blessing the whole world and just filled with joy and love, even for people like Scrooge. And I have to tell you, the more I look up to God, the more that I can deal and have joy in Christmas. The more that it's a joy. Let me end with just two applications and a story. Two applications are look up to Jesus and look up to the sky. First one, look up to Jesus. If you are new to the whole Jesus thing, I invite you to try looking up. Try looking to see life from God's perspective. Maybe join a church on Sunday, like Mosaic House, or maybe one near to your home. And also connect with others throughout the week. At Mosaic House, we live and meet together in house churches regularly, serving our neighbors, hanging out, and trying to figure out what looking up to Jesus actually means. I encourage you also to revisit the Christmas story again. Maybe grab a Bible and just start reading it. Ask God to give you fresh eyes about it. And ask God to meet you. He will meet you where you're at, just like He met the shepherds. He will meet you because He loves you. Now, if you have been following Jesus for a long time and, you know, Christmas coming as usual, ask God to fix your filter. Ask God to heal anything in your life which is shaping the way you view life in unhealthy ways. God wants to give you peace. The word peace means serenity in all aspects of your life. To be completely free from conflict within yourself, with those around you, and with God. God wants that for you. Ask God to show you the kinds of things He wants you to shape your worldview, shape that filter, and look up to Him so that Jesus drives your life. Second application is a quick one. Look up to the sky. If you are going out of town this Christmas time, if you ever get a chance, go outside before bed and just look up at the beautiful night sky. I'm from a small town, Kinsella, and there's nothing there except for beautiful night skies. Because only 30 people live there, so there's not much light pollution. So you can see galaxies. I encourage you, one day at Christmas, just look up and be filled with awe and wonder that the God who created the universe, the God who knows every single star, knows and loves you and came for you. Let me just end with one story. My wife and I, we were dating, we're pre-dating. We were just hanging out, I guess. We were just hanging out, checking things out. And during this time, I really did not want to date anybody. I never dated anybody in my life except my wife, and I'm like, I'm good, I'm cool. And the reason, there's two kind of things that shaped my filter, was one, I love to be single. There's freedom, there's joy, I can help many people, I can just go pick up my bags and go to another country. There's something special about it. And if your filter this Christmas is, the best Christmas is to have a wife or a husband and two kids and a white fence and a nice corgi dog, that's not the best Christmas, okay? Ask God to give you, that's a beautiful Christmas, I'm glad, family is awesome, but that's not the Christmas, okay? So many people have much too much pressure on themselves, like, I need to have a family to be happy. God loves you where you're at. And to be honest, my family I feel most close to is my house church and you guys. That's where I feel home. And you don't need to have somebody in your life to feel happy, to know that God loves you, okay? And I love being single. I didn't need a family. I was good. But also God showed, or I found it after, that a second thing that affected my filter was I had a very low self-esteem. Because of what I'd done and who I was, I thought that I was too dirty, too unlovable for someone to like me or to be with me or to be with me. And I wanted to punish myself by making sure I was never happy, that I didn't want anybody in my life. I didn't want to hurt them. I didn't want to do anything with them. That was also the filter that shaped my worldview. And one day, we were hanging out, and Sarah, we were not dating yet, and she was really patient with me. I was trying my best to repel her. I was doing all the moves, like, you know, farting at wrong times or, like, you know, saying stuff. Like, finally, she would just give up, but she always stuck around. Like, what are you doing, girl? Why do you love me? Why are you hanging out with me? I'm not good. And one day, she said, why don't we go for a walk? We walked around the neighborhood, and we were going for a walk, and she said she wanted to tell me something. I'm like, okay, what do you want to tell me? And she kept looking up in the sky. I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on? And she's like, I didn't want to tell you this because I don't want to put pressure on you, but I believe I was given a vision from God. And I'm like, vision? Okay, well, this is interesting. Okay. And I never seen visions in my life. Like, I'm not, that's not my gift, but Sarah does. And she's like, I don't want to tell you this vision, but I have a mentor in the Dominican Republic. She was given the exact same vision. And I think God wants me to tell you it. So I'm like, okay. I was planning my backup. What if she said I'm going to do something really dumb that night so she'll just, you know, forget about me? But I'm like, okay, what's the vision? She said that there's a vision of me. And behind me were images or symbols of things that happened in Sarah's life. Trauma, pain, suffering. And she believed the vision was the closer she gets to me, the closer she'll get to facing those things and to becoming stronger through it. And I was like, whoa, okay. And she said, I wasn't gonna tell you, but the sky right now, it was a beautiful orange and red sky. It was the same color as the vision that I saw. And I believe God was telling me to tell you. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, what's going on, God? I don't want to date anybody. I'm too unlovable. I don't want to hurt anybody. And she said, look up to the sky. You're like, I don't want to look up. I don't want to look up to the sky. Come on. No, this is not happening. It's not happening. Come on. And I looked up. And I believe that God was telling me, Jeremiah, your filter is not right. It's good to be single. That's a good gift. But I love you. You're special. You're beautiful. I created you. I want you to be happy. I've given you this beautiful woman to partner with you, to walk with you, to love you, to show you a reflection of who and what and how I love you. So don't be an idiot. And that night we started dating. And honestly, I still didn't want to. I still saw the world. I faked it. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. But inside, I was like, honestly, like, that filter was so strong, and she's not here, thank you. I shared the story before. She knows what's happening. She knows everything. But it took me a while to finally get that filter moved, take the glasses off, to see the world the way God sees it, to see me the way God sees me, the way Sarah sees me. And that's what God wants you to experience this Christmas, to look up above your filter, to see life anew. How you view life drives how you do life. So look up. Look up to the glory of God. Now, God doesn't always appear with a bunch of angels or a vision. Sometimes he does, but I think maybe that the shepherd's filter and my filter was so jaded and strong, God needed to do something drastic to help us look up. But regardless of that, Jesus God has appeared in Jesus. That's the one confident thing that we know. God has appeared and he is looking at us because of Jesus. Jesus, who is crucified, who's born this Christmas day, but crucified lower than the shepherds, but raised again to life, is alive now. He is here looking at you with peace and love and favor. Look up to him so that he can drive your life, so that you can find God's peace and joy and favor. Let's pray together. Dear Lord God, help us to be in awe and wonder of you. Show us your glory. Show us how magnificent and beautiful you are. Help us to look up to you beyond our circumstance, beyond our past, beyond the trauma, beyond our mental health. Look up past that to you to know that you love us. You hold us. You want us to see life anew. Pray for those who see Christmas and they're filled with so much pain and hurt. Help them see your day with fresh eyes. Help us to see life with fresh eyes, with hope. Fill us with your peace and favor, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you're here. We pray all this in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. Amen.